Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we have reports and tips from Jarrett McCarthy down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we had a very lengthy talk with our local Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources fisheries biologist, Max Walter. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Get on the water today with the Lund Catch of the Year at Hayward Power Sports. We have Lunds in stock, rigged and ready with Mercury outboards. Save $1,000 on a 1650 Angler SS, $2,500 on a Lund Impact, or a whopping $3,000 on a 1975 Pro V Sport. Lund features boating's best warranty with 3 years of bow to stern and lifetime hull coverage. And no boat holds its value better. Get your Lund at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great lunch menu. And while you're there, Lynn's also has a great selection of custom-cut meats and sausages, as well as many varieties of snack sticks, jerky, fresh cheese curds, and much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30 and 9 to 4 on Saturdays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward.
Hi, this is Ann the Tool Girl from M&M Rental. Here at M&M Rental, we have it all for you do-it-yourselfers and contractors. Concrete tools, metal brakes, man lifts, log splitters, skid steers, and everything you'll need for excavating and trenching, plus much more. And for fun on the water, we have jet skis, ski boats, pontoon boats, fishing boats, kayaks too. From lawn care equipment to tools and sporty goods, we have it all and we deliver. Give us a call at 634-3146. M&M Rental, located on Highway B, Hayward.
We're down at Hayward Bait and Bottle recording this week, and we're talking to Jarrett McCarthy. And Jarrett, good to have you back on the show here.
Yeah, yep, good to be back.
You know, in the fall fishing, there's still, you know, people are talking ice fishing right now, but we're still a ways away from that as we're talking here. And, you know, we've got some good opportunities out there for some late fall fishing.
Yeah, really good opportunity, especially with the weather that we've got right now. It's a great opportunity to get out there and experience some of this awesome fall fishing that we have with some bearable temperatures.
You know, and the water temperatures reflect that, too. Water temperatures are still a way, you know, over the where they should be for this time of year. And we talked about that last week, too, as far as everything, like the turnover was seemed to run late this year and everything. But we've got the warmer water temperature, especially on the bigger lakes, and a lot of the fish are up shallow right now.
Yep, and that's what we were finding. We did a little bit of fishing over the weekend, and a lot of our fish came in, you know, 10 feet of water or less, you know, bass, walleye, pike, or what have you. But fishing's been solid.
As far as reports, you haven't anybody reporting anything coming in here, guys, after bait or anything?
Past couple days, we've had some guys getting out walleye fishing. They're having some good success in 15 to 20 feet of water on clear body lakes. Musky fishing's been good. Still getting a lot of reports. Still seeing a lot of pictures back there, but other than the little bit of fishing that we're seeing a lot of nice deer coming back too this time of year.
Well, you know, and it's getting to be that time of year, and you mentioned musky fishing, and this is the time of year, and there'll be a diehards out there fishing right till the very end.
Oh yeah, yep. The later we get in the cooler water, we seem to have, you know, the bite doesn't speed up, but man, you'll see some really, really big fish for those guys that are fishing those bigger suckers and trolling those bigger baits. Fishing's got its opportunities, and its benefits later in the season. We're definitely at the end of sucker season right now. Most guys will be switching over to hard bait with the cooler water and the sucker season ending.
You know, and the one thing too we're going to see more guys doing is jigging. And all a lot of it, we're standing here by the soft plastic rack, and there's a lot of soft plastics plus things like the Bondi baits and the fuzzy dozens, which work really well for jigging muskies.
Yep, just that vertical jigging over the side of the boat. The fuzzy dozens, the Bondis, you got the Bulldogs and what have you. Just jigging them right over the side of the boat, looking for a strike or what have you. But yeah, we'll definitely get into that after we're well clear of sucker season.
You know, and there's a whole new aspect to that, too, the jig fishing with this new live sonar, this forward-facing sonar like the Garmin LiveScope, and there's others out there. But you can actually watch the muskies down there and how they react and stuff.
It's very interesting to see them interact with the baits that you've got over the boat, be able to change up your presentation and see how different fish respond to different baits.
But you can keep it simple, too, if you don't need a whole lot of equipment. But you sure do miss that equipment when you don't have it.
Yep. And fishing is as expensive or as cheap as you want to make it. And maybe you blow that guy out of the water who's got all the fancy equipment next door, or maybe all that fancy equipment, you know, makes it so you have a great day. Either or, there are some old school guys that won't use anything like that, and there's all the new school guys that are using that to help them catch fish. So there's definitely both kinds of anglers out there.
You got a lot of new stuff I see, and you're putting up, as we were talking here, when I came in, you were putting up a lot of new ice fishing lures, quite a few new things out there this year.
Yeah, we've got a lot of new gear coming out this year. So obviously we've got head of the aisle, we've got Lake Effect jigs in there. They've got some really nice custom painted jigs in the shop. We expanded on Kenders, on Clam, on VMC and Rapala. So we've definitely upped our ice fishing selection here for anglers who are looking to get some really nice new looking tungsten jigs or spoons or anything like that that's going to help you catch, you know, some nice bluegills, nice crappies, nice walleyes through the ice this year. So, you know, we're taking a lot of pride in the selection that we're offering here this year with, you know, all of our expanded selection. So yeah, we're hoping that everybody else is going to love the selection we've got here this year.
Anything new in the line of augers and shelters and the bigger stuff?
So as far as augers, we haven't seen them yet, but Ion has completely renewed their line of augers this year. They've got a couple of new features that we have yet to play with this year, but we're looking forward to getting a couple new models in there. Strike Master came out with their Light Flight 10 inch, so that's that plastic blade with the 40 volt head on it. It lightens up that auger by 6 or 7 pounds, which makes it a lot easier to, you know, go punch a whole bunch of holes if you're tip up fishing out there. As far as shacks go, we're seeing a lot more shacks that are rolling over to that no-trip door style.
And you're geared up for the hunting season. You mentioned the deer earlier. I know the deer, as we're talking here, are starting to move pretty good. They're moving good. I think the bucks will be right behind them pretty quick.
Yeah, we've actually seen 3 or 4 bucks this last week that have come in. Some beautiful, you know, 10 to 12 point deer that are coming in really, really healthy. So if that's the way we're starting the season, I can't wait to see how we're going to end it.
And you've got everything they need for both the hunting season and the fishing here.
Fishing, heck yeah. And hunting, we got everything here. If you're looking to have any worked on your crossbow or any of your archery gear, you know, John and I are here to help you out as much as we can. And then fishing, obviously, we're ready to roll. We're getting ready for ice season right now. So, you know, for guys that are starting to dust stuff off, come on in and stock back up on all your favorite goodies.
Well, thanks for taking that time with us here.
Thanks for having me again, John.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take a break right now and hear from some of the fine sponsors that make this show possible every week. When we come back, we'll be talking to our Wisconsin DNR fisheries biologist for the Hayward area here, Max Walters. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages. Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also have a great selection of tree stands, camo, ammunition, scents, hunting supplies, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin, welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
The Sea-Doo pre-order sales event is on at Hayward Power Sports. The best way to guarantee a new 2023 for next year, and the only way to get the Sea-Doo RXPX Apex 300 Exclusive Edition. As a bonus, you'll get 2 years of BRP warranty coverage for free. Whether you're looking for a traditional Sea-Doo personal watercraft or a Sea-Doo switch pontoon boat, this is the best way to get what you want. Or we still have a few 2022 models in stock that offer no payments and no interest financing for 6 months. See Hayward Power Sports today, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors, and this part of the show is brought to you by the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau. For more information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out their website at haywardlakes.com. Well, folks, you know, one of the people we get on here quite often is our local DNR fisheries biologist, Max Walter, and had a chance to talk to Max the other day on the phone about the season this year and a wrap-up, and also look forward to the ice fishing.
Max, good to have you on the show here as we wrap up the fishing open water season for the year, I guess.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We finished our field work a few weeks ago, but you know, here when we're recording this, it's still almost going to be 70 degrees today. Pretty wild.
Crazy. The lakes actually went through turnover a lot later. In fact, I think some of the big lakes as a week ago here, I was on Round Lake and, you know, I had 52 degree water temperature and we had fish, all the fish in the lake seemed to be up in 18 feet of water and weeds are shallower. Nothing out in deep water, it seemed like, and that's unusual for this time of year.
Yeah, the weather pattern itself has been unusual. It got cold for a little bit and then very warm, like too warm almost. But it does look like the cold weather's coming back as we get into November here, and so maybe we'll have a normal ice up on our lakes and normal opportunities for people to get out for that early season ice.
And we'll talk about that a little bit, but let's talk about what you found out there as you wrapped up all your surveys and stuff for the fall this year.
Yeah, so for anybody who's not familiar, you know, our fall surveys, we're looking for juvenile fish, often the fish that were born in the spring. So we're looking for walleye, see how their year classes are. We're looking for muskies, things like that. Pleased to say that it was generally a pretty good year for walleye. We had some really nice performances from some of the lakes in our area. Grindstone had a really big year class. Chippewa-Flowage had a nice year class. Round Lake had a nice year class. Sand Lake had a nice year class of walleye, and that was one that needed one. So I was really hoping to get a good result there, and it looks like we did. So, you know, some good things to talk about. It was not like a missed year where the conditions just didn't allow for any reproduction. The places where walleye have been reproducing, they seem to have done it again and done pretty good. And so that's important. The places where they haven't been reproducing, you know, we didn't really see any surprises there, which is disappointing. You know, we still haven't seen bounce backs in Nelson Lake or Sisabagama or even the Couderay. But those are lakes we're stocking, and we are looking for stocking success when we're out doing these surveys too. And so, you know, we have some good things to say there. Big Chautauqua is a very successful stocked fishery, for example, and a handful of others. So, good to see walleye coming up. Good to see kind of what the future of the fisheries look like on those lakes.
Well, you know, these fish, a lot of the fish I've been catching look like they've been eating really, really well this year too, because they look pretty healthy.
Yeah, so that was something we commented on as we were riding around in the boom shocker. Not everywhere, but some lakes just had incredible amounts of what we call forage fish, I guess. Small fish, small panfish, minnows, things like that. So they seem to have had a very good year as well. So that may, you know, be related. You know, when you get a lot of food out there, that definitely helps the young walleye and everything else survive. It may be related to your fishing success, too. There might have been a lot of other stuff out there for fish to eat. Maybe a better year for growing fish than catching fish, which happens sometimes.
Well, you know, that's a kind of a report I've gotten back from friends of mine over in northern Minnesota and everywhere, especially fish like muskies, where you have, you know, you're fishing for a less dense population of fish. And the fact was it came back is that most of the people were commenting that it seemed to be a slower year this year for a lot of different kinds of fish. You know, bite windows were very, very short and narrow, and the fish were active for a very short period of time, which made the fishing a lot more difficult for just about every kind of fish, it seemed like.
Yeah, I could see that having been the case. I guess I saw that reflected in my own fishing a little bit this summer, and you know, you mentioning talking to people in Minnesota, I think that's important for people to keep in mind, is that a lot of these trends, you know, they're regional, they're related to the weather, the climate, growing season, things like that. It's not a decision made by the Minnesota DNR or the Wisconsin DNR. This is kind of the big environmental controllers on what happens in our lakes and rivers, which are hugely important and, you know, not something that we can really tweak or manipulate. We kind of get the conditions we get in a lot of these cases.
You bet. Well, you know, and it affects the fishing. I mean, but the fishing was actually pretty good. It was like there was days it was it seemed awful slow out there, and you know, you just had to be on the water more hours of the day, it seemed like, to be successful, especially with muskies. I know the muskie fishing in general. And the fish that we did catch, I mentioned earlier, they were healthy. I mean, a lot of these fish, are you can kind of tell when they've been eating real good, because they just want no part of it when you try to get them out of the net and get them released and everything. They just seem full of energy, just completely full of energy.
Well, you know, the other thing that is definitely a factor right now is low water. Obviously, that's a big deal on the rivers, which have been running at really low flows since, you know, basically June. But a lot of our lake water levels are dropping a bit as well. We just haven't had many of those really big rain flow events that are going to raise water levels or bring rivers up from kind of the low water stage they're at right now. And what that does, especially in a river, is it concentrates fish, predatory fish, and the fish they're seeking. So it kind of shrinks the entire playing field, probably makes it easier for muskies to get food in some cases, but they also can't get around from pool to pool in the way that they normally would, so they might just kind of be in one area and be stuck there for the summer. And that's what we saw in a number of cases, is lots of fish kind of concentrated in smaller areas.
Well, you know, and you're right there. They were concentrated, but, you know, you mentioned low water, and even the Mississippi River right now is running real low, and I've noticed all of our lakes, every lake is down some, it seems like, and the rivers are real low on flow going through them. But on the other hand, it seemed like this year, where we normally have like a 3-day, 4-day cycle for weather patterns to come through, we had these stupid weather fronts coming through about every other day. Which, well, it didn't seem like we must not have got a lot of rain out of them, but that just the barometric pressure change alone, you know, triggered a lot of these aquatic insect hatches and stuff in the lake and brought up just a tremendous amount of hatches. I don't know the biology of all this, but I know what I see and what I've been told, but in the past, that, you know, that those type of conditions seem to really increase the amount of, you know, aquatic insect hatches and who knows what else in the lake, but it made a what to call a forage rich situation out there on a lot of waters, if not all of them.
Yeah, just you have a lack of predictability compared to our normal patterns, whether that's water level or kind of the other stuff you're talking about with fronts. So yeah, lots of challenges for anglers to try to figure out, and kind of what keeps the puzzle interesting, right?
Well, that's exactly right. That's one of the challenges to me is always been that, you know, you can come up with all the best equipment and the best technology in the world out there, but you still have to deal with the fish, when the fish is going to get active or when you're going to find them. And not every place in the lake, we talk about, you know, the number of walleyes per acre of, you know, 1.5 to 4 or 5 or 6 walleyes per acre, but they're not going to be spread out in the entire lake. There's going to be one area or two areas that are going to have more of the fish, and that changes by the time of the year and conditions too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the fall transition that we might have seen in a normal year may have been a little bit off this year with this very, very warm weather we had in late October. I imagine water temperatures are actually climbing a little bit, which we don't normally see. So, you know, the fish are going to be okay. They're going to get through an event like that, but it may change their behavior. It may even end up being kind of a minor cause of some stress for them. Certainly not stressing me out that I can walk around in a t-shirt right now, but fish, you know, being a cold-blooded animal, their entire physiology is dictated by that water temperature, and when they're expecting it to go down and it ends up going up, it's like, oh, what's going on here?
It doesn't take much of a change in water temperature either, and I think anglers need to realize that. Just 2 or 3 degrees can kind of really disrupt the fish for a while till they kind of acclimate to that temperature change.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think a lot of times it's the direction of the change too. So it doesn't have to be a huge change, but when they expect it to be falling and then it's rising, they're going to change their behavior possibly in response.
What do you forecast, or what do you think is going to be going into the ice fishing season here? Eventually we will get ice, and, you know, we'll have people out there fishing on that frozen lakes. Do you think that's going to be good, or are we going to be carrying a lot of that food sources into the winter, do you think?
I'm always hesitant to make predictions, but I will in this case. I'm going to stick my neck out a little bit here. You know, like you said, we're going into winter with a lot of food in the lakes, But a lot of the, what we have out there is really young stuff, and it may be overly dense in some cases where there's not going to be enough food available to sustain, you know, what could be hundreds of thousands or millions of little bluegill, for example. So I think what we might see is early ice fishing is probably going to still be good because it always is. And then as we get into middle and later, that might be when some of that prey base starts to kind of die off, and anglers may actually experience a little bit better ice fishing success this year. Of course, you know, the big X factor and the one we can't predict is access and how well people can actually get out on the ice, or if it's going to be so bitterly cold that it's going to keep people from going. But I would hope the conditions will end up being good in the near future, because like I said, I the amount of little bluegill and things and little perch in some of these lakes right now, it's just not going to be sustained for a long period of time. It never is.
Well, folks, you know, we need to take yet another break and hear from even more of the fine sponsors that make this show possible. And when we come back, we'll have the second part of that talk we had with our local DNR biologist, Max Walter. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
This year, Dr. Ostrander and his staff at Hayward Animal Hospital will be celebrating 30 years. They thank you for your patronage. Hayward Animal Hospital continues to accept new clients and offers urgent care appointments daily. For same-day urgent care or emergency surgery, make sure you call early in the day as appointments fill rapidly. They open at 8 a.m. Hayward Animal Hospital is located 1 mile east of Hayward on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And folks, you know, we're going to jump right back into the second part of that talk we had with Max Walter.
You know, an interesting thing, let's talk a little bit about the increased pressure on the lakes. We've seen in the last few years, and I'm getting this comment back from northern Minnesota fishing guides I know and everything else, that we're seeing more and more and more people out on our lakes, which is good having people getting outdoors and fishing, but we're getting a lot of pressure in the technology out there. I mean, like I run Garmin LiveScope units on my boat. It's incredible. I've had days where everybody's complaining about catching crappies, and, you know, like this in August and September this year, and there were people that were saying, well, crappie fishing is slow, and I found it slower, but being with electronics and the advantage of having that technology, I was able to get on fish and have some pretty good days out there. When you start adding all that in and an amount of people out there, is there anything we should be looking at as far as, you know, that increased pressure on our lakes?
Yeah, well, that's interesting, you know, you say that. Some people are saying crappie fishing was slow, but it sounds like crappie finding was just slow. So, yeah, if people know how to use those electronics, they're going to be finding fish more often and in ways that maybe wouldn't have happened 10 or 20 or certainly like 30 or 40 years ago. So, you know, we are looking at this technology question. We've done some work on it. The general trend in panfish regulations in particular has been more restrictive. We're seeing that coming through the Conservation Congress, where people are writing petitions and requesting lower bag limits on lots of waters. You know, we've been doing it proactively on some lakes too. So, you know, that's kind of what the future may hold, is if people are going to be more efficient and if populations are going to be under a lot of pressure, that you maybe won't have that 25 daily bag limit on really popular lakes that can't sustain it. Some may be able to sustain it, and we have some tools where we can kind of look at that and try to make those determinations. But in a lot of cases, anglers seem to be very accepting of it and saying, yeah, 10's enough if that's what it is. Or some places are even saying they want to go lower. But that's particularly important for species like panfish, where the harvest interest is so high. I mean, it's what most people are out there looking for to harvest. So, yeah, that's kind of how I see it at this point in time.
Well, you know, I run into people all the time, and there's people out there, if you look online and stuff, that say we shouldn't even have this technology and it ought to be illegal and all this stuff. In fact, some of the muskie tournaments where guys were abusing the technology by having multiple units in the boat and fishing, they even made them illegal during the tournaments. But I tend to agree with your predecessor, Frank Pratt, on the fact that he said, you know, we can't be limiting, you know, certain ways we fish, the technology and stuff. We can do it by regulations alone and by making people more aware of, you know, you got to think about what you're doing out there, you know, as far as fishing, not so much going backwards. I mean, we don't drive Model Ts anymore because, you know, our technology has evolved. We're going backwards in our technology and the fishing and outdoor stuff. It would be, you know, contrary to what I think we should be doing. It's more of, you know, the regulations should be able to support the fisheries out there, even with that increased pressure and technology, I think.
Yeah, and I think a lot of what you said there is right on the money. You know, I'm not the ultimate authority on all things DNR, so I'm not speaking for the entire department when I say this, but, you know, how where do you draw the line? That's such a hard conversation. Even if there is an interest in being more restrictive on some of these things, how do you decide what's in bounds and what's out of bounds? So that's why you're seeing us, you know, regulating not what people can use. In most cases, we're regulating what people can take and what they can actually harvest. The exception to that is when a certain fishing method might increase the mortality of fish, including fish that you want to release. So that's why, you know, we do make some restrictions on the technology you have to use for example, fishing live bait for muskies. You have to use a quick strike rig. We do on occasion have restrictions on where you can or can't use live bait because sometimes that can influence the mortality of fish, like trout fisheries, for example. So, you know, there's examples of DNR restricting methods, but the world now has become so complex with the technology and all this other stuff that it's a much more complicated conversation. And again, it's really hard to figure out where do you draw that line about what's in bounds and what's out of bounds. So we'll probably have to use regulations as kind of our primary tool.
I think the biggest solution to the problem, I think, is going to be in the future. People need to really think about the resource when they're out there. I mean, how many fish do we actually need to harvest to have a meal of fish or have fish? You know, we're out there to have fun and enjoy the outdoors, and, you know, conservation of the outdoors should be, you know, one of our prime ideas. You know, conservation is wise use and preservation is no use. We don't want to go the no use route, but the conservation route is probably the best route.
Yeah, and you know, that's something I think people should keep in mind as they're thinking about these types of issues, or they're out on the lake and they're seeing all these other people fishing, and there can be this hand-wringing of, oh my gosh, there's all these new people fishing, these fish must be getting absolutely clobbered, right? Or this technology is going to be, you know, so bad, there's going to be so many more fish harvested. We don't always know that that's going to be the case. You know, if there's five anglers on the lake, they may have the same mentality that you do, you know, about releasing most fish, or, you know, maybe some of the new people coming into fishing are more catch and release oriented. I think these are all interesting questions and things that we should be looking at, because we can't just, you know, assume worst case scenario all the time that people coming in are going to be very unethical and super harvesters. The way that we can try to be proactive on that is by getting this type of a message out there and talking to people about fishing and why conservation and why selective harvest is important to kind of build into their routines, because the more people do that, you know, the more resilient our fisheries are going to be and the better shape we'll be in.
Yeah, interesting stuff. I know we're getting into that. We're going to be going into the winter here. I don't know if you're planning on having some things over the winter like you've had in the past, or what's going on there.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do something like that again. We have a lot of projects that we've either been wrapping up or starting out on. I think people would be interested in hearing about it. So don't have any dates yet, but definitely have an interest in starting to do some more of those kind of in-person outreach events and getting people plugged back into what's happening with local fisheries if they've missed out on that in the last couple of years.
And Max, as we wrap up here, I don't know if there's anything else you wanted to get out there to make people aware of or anything.
No, just, you know, be safe, especially in that early ice period. Everybody's always eager to get out on them, and, you know, we don't want any tragedy. We want people safe and happy out there. So be cautious and have fun.
Well, Max, I really appreciate you taking the time to talk to our listeners out there, and I hope you have a good end of the season here.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it, and thanks for having me on.
Well, folks, you know, we're about out of time for this week's show. I'd like to remind everyone out there that if you miss a show, go to our website at wnoradio.net. And from there, you can link to our podcast site. And the show is also on Spotify and Google Podcasts every week. And also, if you're looking for information on vacationing and lodging here in the Hayward Lakes area, check out the Hayward Lakes Visitor and Convention Bureau website at haywardlakes.com. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out of time, and we'll be back again next week with another interesting show for you.
Listen with me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.